Let's hit this thing hard. Hour number three. Finish it. You got off to a great start. Or maybe you're just now joining us and you missed a couple of really good hours. Let's get this. 1-800-636-8686. Tony Jefferson of the Baltimore Ravens joins me momentarily. Lots of time, though, for you to get through. In fact, you never know. I take a telephone call right now. It's been a big phone call day, starting with Jeff in Richmond in hour number one. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, so Tony Jefferson's coming up momentarily. I talked in hour number one about LeBron. Maybe you saw that video. The video took a couple of days to get out, but the video got out of him on the bench after J.R. Smith went J.R. Smith, after George Hill missed that free throw, after they had a timeout and they didn't use it, and LeBron essentially just sat there and didn't do anything at all. And now he's catching heat for that. And several days out, even the media was all about it, into him, you know, not really aggressively, but into him about, you know, you're getting heat. You're taking some flack. You didn't do more to pick your teammates up. And LeBron's response was, really? That's viral? That's a thing? They're criticizing me for not doing more to pick up my teammates? What more do I have to do? We're in the NBA Finals. I agree with that. And I'll finish that thought in 1 minute. But as promised, we are joined by a safety for the Baltimore Ravens. He is entering his sixth NFL season, coming off a big year, 56 tackles, 2.5 sacks. He had a pick and a forced fumble. He led all defensive backs in tackles for a loss in 2016 with 13. He was undrafted out of 2013 out of Oklahoma. Ravens open up their season against Buffalo on September 9th. Tony Jefferson is my guest. Tony, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Doing good. How you doing, John?
Good, good. Tony, let's go right to the really important stuff, man. Like the real hot, controversial stuff right off the top. I've got to get your thoughts on your golf game. How is your golf game these days? How are you swinging them?
I've progressed really well, actually. Took me a while. I was renting out golf clubs, you know, my first couple times golfing, but made a trip to Dick's Sporting Goods, got my own clubs, and I got my first birdie a week and a half ago, so getting good.
I got to know, man. So where did you get that first birdie? What track, and what did it feel like?
It was at the Black Mountain golf course in San Diego. It was a par five, so my first shot off the tee, I nailed it probably around almost 300 yards off the tee, so that helped me out big time with my other shots. I felt like I'm ready after that one.
Tony Jefferson, my guest, how long was the putt?
Well, I actually got caught in a bunker, in the sand bunker, and I just freestyled out the sand bunker, and I hit it out, and it hit the greens, and it rolled down to about literally 2 feet from the hole, so I got lucky there.
Dude, a sand save, birdie putt, man. Something like that happens, and you feel like you got it. You got it. Now I'm ready to roll. But that's golf, man. You know better, right? Like, you don't have it. You know it's golf. Right when you think you've got it all figured out, you know it's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Oh, yeah. Got me the next day.
Exactly. Tony Jefferson, my guest. Like I said, we had to get the important stuff out of the way off the top. All right. Also, you recently hosted your annual 7-on-7 tourney at your alma mater, Eastlake High School in Chula Vista. What did you make of the tournament and the players that were on display?
Oh, we had a great turnout. Had 10 teams there. It was kind of a rough spot because during that time, there was so many other tournaments going on around the area. So I was really appreciative of the teams who did come out. I was competitive, came down to the wire in our last game. Obviously, the winner of the tournament got $10,000 to go towards their athletic department. So, it was a real good turnout, very competitive.
Hey, Tony, you're established now in the NFL. So what's it like when you go back to Eastlake, and what kind of memories do you have of your time there?
Even when you just said it, this being my sixth year, I kind of, raised my eyebrow. It kind of went really fast. Being the fact that I am only 26 years old, I kind of feel young, but at the same time, football years, I feel pretty old. So it feels good to go back home, especially to Eastlake, where it all started, basically. I was the running back there, so when I touched that field, I just remember running all over the field and running people over and running by people. So good memories.
Tony Jefferson, my guest. Listen, I always like talking to you because you're a guy that will keep it real. You're a guy who's honest. And last season ended in a brutal way with that loss to Cincinnati. And you were pretty emotional after that game, talking about how that was your favorite team that you've ever been on and how appreciative you were of the team bringing you to Baltimore. What was it about that particular team that made it so special?
Just the ups and downs that we went through. I mean, we had a tough little stretch in the beginning. But we prevailed pretty good. I think just putting ourselves in the position that we did at the end of the season, being able to be able to have the opportunity to make the playoffs. And I wanted it so bad for everybody on the team to be able to be with us and do that for what we did. We made a nice run at the end of the season to put ourselves in the position to do that. And then for the season to end the way it did, I was heartbroken. I didn't have any words to really say at the moment. But for the guys who are back, I think they felt kind of how I felt. And we're hungry, hungrier, obviously, for this year. And can't wait to get on the field.
Hey, Tony, can you express what it's like? For instance, I think a lot of the audience has never played football, much less at this level. You know, we all go to work, and sometimes you work with people you like and people you respect. Sometimes you work with people you don't like and you don't respect. So is there any way to describe what it's like to do what you do? I mean, as physical as it is, as demanding as it is mentally and emotionally, where you're putting yourself out there and literally taking your life into your own hands every single time you do it for your job, and then to pay that price physically and emotionally with guys that you respect so much, what's it like? What kind of a bond results from something like that?
Yeah, I think it's a hidden figure that gets lost in the game is how close you become with the guys that you grind every. You see them every day, and you pretty much, for the most part, you live with those guys because you're at the facility and you're out traveling more with them during this particular time of the year. With them more than you are with your family, and they really become family. You see the same faces every day. And like you said, we're all out there sacrificing and, you know, giving up our time, giving up our bodies for this one game that we love. And where some will say it's just a bunch of people just chasing a pigskin. But to us, it's much more than that. There's so much more that goes into it, including all the film work and everything that we do for the game. So it's definitely something sentimental, you know, for everybody in the league.
Baltimore Ravens safety Tony Jefferson joining us here in the jungle. During the offseason, the league made changes to the policy regarding the use of helmets in a tackle. So now a player is going to face a 15-yard penalty and possible ejection if he lowers his head and makes contact with his helmet against the opponent. You know that rule. What do you make of that change?
Man, I'm not changing the way I'm playing and how I've been playing. So I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm not going to be out there concerned about how to hit anybody. I've been playing football for a long time, and I've never had the intent on hurting anybody or doing any of that. So I'm going to continue to play football the way I play. They'll call it how they call it. Obviously, I don't know how they're going to call it. I mean, if you're in the trenches, obviously, sometimes you're going to use your top of your helmet sometimes. So I don't know how they're going to call it, but I'm not going to let that slow me down.
Tony Jefferson joining us. You know, when you talk about, I don't know how they're going to call it. I've had a number of defensive guys say, all right, fine. The rule is fine if they enforce it on offensive players too, because, you know, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, even a quarterback will drop their head to initiate contact. Do you think it's going to be equally enforced between offensive and defensive players, or do you think the refs are just going to focus on defensive players?
Well, it has to, I think personally it needs to go both ways. I mean, I don't understand how one side can lower the head and the other side can't. If you're going to call it fair. Or I just think it's just going to impose a bunch of more problems that the league doesn't need.
We're talking to Tony Jefferson. Tony, let me get you to talk basketball for a minute. I know you've been watching the NBA Finals. I know because I've seen you tweet about them. What do you make of the first two games of the NBA Finals?
You know, the series should be 1-1 right now. You know, so a couple bonehead plays. Everybody wants to get on J.R. Smith, but George Hill's just got to make that free throw. They're free. Make them. You got to make those. So this one, it should be 1-1, but it's 2-0 right now, Warriors. But like I've said before, I mean, the Celtics were up 2-0 on the Cavs. I'm not saying the Celtics and the Warriors are the same, but, you know, this series don't technically start until a team wins a road game. So we'll see tonight. But I do think that the Cavs have been playing the Warriors a lot tougher than most people have thought, and they have a lot of people on the edge of their seats more than people may have thought they would have. So I think the Cavs can pull out these next two, then we've got ourselves a really tough series.
Like I said, you're paying attention. You know, that point you made about George Hill, I mean, J.R. Smith has taken a lot of heat here and everywhere else, and I think that George Hill, to a certain extent, is skating because he didn't make that second free throw. But what about J.R.? Like, have you seen that video that got out the last couple of days where Bron is on the bench and he's not saying anything, and now everybody's coming for LeBron saying, come on, man, you got to pick your guys up? I mean, if you're a teammate, how would you handle a situation like that? I mean, is it LeBron's job to pick up J.R. or George Hill, or really is there nothing you can say at that point?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you got to – come on. You thought the game was like, pay attention to the game. What do you mean? I'm not. I mean, what do you expect for LeBron to do? I mean, you understand the magnitude of the game. You understand the magnitude of the series, and to be able to possibly go up in the game and possibly win the game for him. I mean, he was frustrated at the time. You can't. You want a pat on the back. I mean, we're all grown men. You need to. If you're on that court, you need to know every situation. You need to know what situation you're in. You need to know what would happen with whatever you do before the play even happens. So that's all on JR. You don't need a pat on the back. I don't understand that argument with people saying so.
I don't either.
There ain't no time to feel sorry for people.
There ain't no time to feel
finals.
The NBA Finals. Grown men playing in the NBA Finals. That's no time to feel sorry for anybody. Tony, you mentioned you're 6 years in, and it's going fast, and you know what your body feels like. I'm not saying that the NFL is the NBA, but you're 6 years in, and then you see LeBron doing what he's doing 15 years in. Is there any doubt in your mind that he's the greatest of all time?
No, he's the greatest of all time. He's playing the best basketball now of his career, in my opinion, now, in year 15. Just his work ethic. Everything he does, what he does to keep up with his body. The dude didn't even come out of a game, you know, playing 48 minutes. I mean, come on now. At 33, 15 years in, yeah, there's nobody. He's a machine, and there's nobody that's ever going to, I think, come close to what he's done and what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, thing is, though, I'm not sure that he's ever had his own box of donuts on National Donut Day the way that you did with your face on them. Look, I know you're not playing the game for selfish reasons and personal honors, but, dude, is there a greater honor than having a donut with your face?
Man, shout out to Dunkin' Donuts for making the Tony Jefferson donut. That just goes to show I'm the real 23.
You are, dude. You are living the best life, man. You've got your own donut. You got your first bird this week. Got another shot with the Ravens. You are living your best life. Breaking down the NBA Finals on a big radio show. Tony, I appreciate you, man. Always good to have you on the show. That's why I love doing that interview, Tony. Great to have you back.
Yeah. Much love. Appreciate it, man.
You're the best, man. Much love. Tony Jefferson. If you need him, and I do. Tony Jefferson, Baltimore Raven. Donuts. My man Delonte, jungle legend, Delonte West. My thanks to Tony Jefferson. That was a blast. There's so many good interviews on the Ravens. I love the Ravens. The jungle loves the Ravens. All right, so we are wide open the rest of the way. Good news for you. If you're on hold, there's a good chance you'll get through. If you're on hold, there's a good chance you won't get through. If you haven't called yet, you can still get on the air. 1-800-636-8686. I'm not going the entire day without giving you an update on the National Radio Hall of Fame. That's coming up and more. Falling into bed has taken on a whole new meaning ever since I started to sleep on my Casper mattress. Their engineers have created an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience. Get one and you will understand why. It is the internet's favorite mattress. Casper has created three unique mattresses to help you sleep cool and comfortably year-round. The Wave, for instance, is engineered to relieve pressure at 36 different points. The Casper mattress is more breathable and comfortable than ever. And the Essential mattress is innovation at a great price point. All of them are designed to coddle and comfort your every move. They all provide the perfect support for every position that you sleep in. Find out why Casper has hundreds of thousands of happy customers like me. Try your Casper mattress for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. Casper mattress. Go to Casper.com. Use the code name Rome. Save $50 on the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com. Code name Rome. Save $50. Terms and conditions do apply. See the site for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You want to make the right game plan for you? Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com. Want to again thank Tony Jefferson. What a good interview that is. It's hard to find guys to say anything. And he had a lot to say. That was great. That was a lot of fun. So, Hall of Fame vote day number 3. Most of you know by now that the voting for the National Radio Hall of Fame has opened up. And no doubt, I want to take a moment and give you clones a lot of credit. No doubt, over the last 48 hours, you have absolutely killed it. My at mentions are blowing up. My inbox is overflowing. The lines have been lit with people calling in just to make sure that I know they voted. Strong, strong effort, clones. Really strong. Now the question is, can you keep this thing up? Can you finish the race after exploding out of the blocks? Because it's a long race. It's not a sprint. This thing's like a marathon. It's only 2 weeks, but we're only 2 days in, and I feel like we've done this for weeks already. Can you finish? I know you can. I know you can. But rest assured, I'm going to be here to make sure we all keep our heads down and keep going to battle all the way until the 18th. It's only the 6th, because this thing really is just getting started. And none of us are punking out 2 days in. Which brings me to this tweet. This is something we have not covered yet that I want to get into. This tweet right here, I've seen about 1,000 times already. And I want to address the sentiment expressed because I know a lot of you are thinking the same thing. At Cheatin828 tweets, as a 23-year listener who voted, I'm going to keep it real. Why is the National Radio Hall of Fame asking for a fan vote? Why won't the committee just vote you in? This is bogus. What other Hall of Fame asks for public votes? End quote. All right, here's my response. I don't know exactly why they do that, but it seems pretty obvious. It seems pretty evident. They want the listeners involved. It's a listener-generated medium. It's audio. It's audio. They want to be interactive. They want to involve you. They want to involve the fans. They want to involve the listeners. So that's why they're doing that, to make sure that you're all part of the process. Listen, I see you working. I really do appreciate you. I appreciate that you think that the process is bogus and that you still voted. It's really important, by the way. I mean, some of you may have a problem with the process, but I still need you to vote, right? I'm sure many of you are wondering, why is it on us, Rome? Why is the onus on us? Why is it not on the Hall of Fame? Why is it not about what you've done over the past 30 years? Why is it on us to put you in? And by the way, a lot of you like that hammer, but some of you don't. I get that. And for many of you, you think that, yeah, I mean, doesn't your career speak for itself, Rome? And by the way, Rome, I'm seeing this too. By the way, Rome, it's kind of beneath you to shill for votes. It kind of trivializes you and the honor. I've heard that. I see that. I respect that take. I know where you're going with that take. Listen, I don't make the rules. I don't make the rules, but we'll play by the rules like every other candidate in our category. I mean, real talk. I am honored. I am humbled to be nominated. You might not love the process, but it's the process. and don't hate on the process and then decide, nope, I'm not voting. Be like my man, cheating 828, who thinks it's bogus, quote unquote, but he still voted. Do it. Then vote again. Then grab a friend's phone and vote from their phone. Then send out a company-wide email asking your office to vote. I'll say it. Say it again. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I love the idea of us somehow making this thing happen together. It makes it so much more meaningful. Nothing would be more appropriate or cooler for me to have the best audience in the world flexing their juice once again. Clones, you can do this. I know you can. I asked you to make the podcast number one. You did it in 3 hours. I asked you to repop a tweet 500 times. You did it in 3 seconds. You're strong as hell. You're even more loyal. There's nobody I would rather go to battle with. And trust me, I know you're putting in the work. It's why I offered up a show of nausea resets. It's why self-glossing is going to go right alongside James Kelly reading mean tweets. My son, Logan Rome, or as Jeff likes to refer to him, Rogan Loam.
Rogan Loam.
We'll get to co-host a segment. Something else you wanted. Like I said, Logan has been walking around the house chest puffed out, just waiting to bust me up on the air for not bringing back the Rat Family. Do not forget, also, if somehow you get me in, we have to nuke carp in a microwave on air. That's the fish alarm. Oh, yeah, also, I have to bring back a freaking tour stop. So regardless of how you feel about the process, it's the process. I'm dealing with it. The other people in my category are dealing with it. Let's feel good about it. Let's get it done. Let's get it done together. Once again, if you have not voted, two ways to vote, not one or the other. You're allowed to vote twice. Text 800 to 96,000. 800 to 96,000. Once you do that, head on over to radiovote.com. Cast your second ballot. You're allowed to vote twice. It's easy. Radiovote.com. Go right to the ballot. Find my mugshot. Click on that. 2 days down, 12 days to go. Clones, find a way to stay in the fight. Find a way to stay in the fight. I will. I need you to. Seven of the gnarliest demands. Hang in the balance. Everybody grab a freaking shovel. Keep digging. Come on now. Let's do this. Let's get this. This email says, Dear Jim, I've only been listening full time for the past 2 years. At first, I couldn't stand you, but you have grown on me, and I'm doing my part to get you in the Hall of Fame. I drive a brown truck. I throw boxes at people all day long. I've utilized my opportunity and have gotten 57 people to text 800 to 96,000. I'll keep on it. Wore Jeff in Richmond passing the kidney stone during his call. My man, Jason. Bro, thank you so much. Love that. Hey, listen, if you're relatively new to the program, I get that. Man, I didn't like you at all. Hey, can I tell you, if you listened only full-time for the past 2 years. If you didn't like me 2 years ago, you should have heard me 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Man, you would have hated my guts. Can I tell you something? I didn't like me the first time I heard me. It takes a little bit of time. Stay in the fight. Like I said, stay in the fight. Dude, if that's true, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. He's got 57 people. Dude, if you're in a brown truck, you need me. I hope you get through that shift. People in brown trucks have been telling me that for years. I'm here for you, Jason. I got you. Good looking out. Thanks very much. Dear Jim, we will find a way to get you in the Hall of Fame. We need you, Jim. As a farmer from Brooks, Alberta, I get to listen to your show every day. I only get 2 hours of your show, so I have to pay monthly just to get your third hour on Sirius XM. John, brother.
Hey, John.
Damn, that means a lot to me. Sincerely, John, thank you very much. My man, paying for the third hour. Paying for the third hour. A farmer in Brooks, Alberta. Love you, brother. John, thanks, man. Brother. I mean that sincerely. He's going into his pocket to get the third hour. I'm feeling the love. Just pumps me up. Makes me want to grind that much harder to make sure you get a good show every single day. Alvy, can I not get a ding or something for these guys? One guy has got 57 other people on his own to vote, and he hated me. This other guy is a farmer in Alberta, and he has to pay to get a third hour. Ding! All right, we'll come right back. Get some 1-800-636-8686. Chad Millman is the interview subject on Ep 40. The podcast turned 40 this week. I'm proud of that, too. I'm going to try and reset that for you right now. But first, a sports update. ATP, Ask the Pros, where you get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Once again, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tony in Iowa City is in. He asks, hey, Jumpman, earlier today you mentioned you had a sit down with Logan to tell him there's a chance he has to appear on the show with you. You also mentioned that Jake knows about it. Is Jake at all jealous that his little brother might get to be on the show, but he doesn't? That's a really good question, actually. Let me just very quickly, I'm not going to bore you with the details, but I'll give you the Rome family dynamic and how this all plays out. Logan is on record. He was the one who said it. Hey, Dad, you and me are funny. Mom and Jake are nice. So start right there. We're funny. They're nice. And that's kind of true. In terms of Jake and Logan, I don't know about the rest of you. I was never a guy who got caught up in, man, I need to have sons. I need to have this legacy thing. I need to have a kid so he can be a ball player. I was never about that. Never, ever about that. Honestly, I just wanted kids who were healthy and happy. And if I got a girl and a boy or two girls and two boys, I didn't care at all. I was never about that. I was never about that. Legacy, I got to have a kid who plays ball. I just wanted healthy, happy kids, which I have. Now, that said, I assumed that if I ended up with two boys, that they would just beat the crap out of each other. I mean, brothers do that, right? Not these two. These two are great. Like, there's no hate. There's no jealousy. They're totally different. They're 3.5 years apart. And they're both enormous fans of each other. Number one, because Jake's like his mom. Jake is almost exactly like Janet. Janet is like the best person I've ever met. I married the best person I've ever met, literally. That sweet, that nice, that honest, that everything. Like, Janet's everybody's favorite person. The kind of person when you look at Janet, you're like, yeah, you know, she's fake. Because nobody's that nice. It's got to be fake. Nobody's that nice. And certainly not every single day. But she is. Jake is like his mother. So he gets a kick out of Logan because Logan's totally different. And then Logan, who can do a lot of things really well, he's good like that. Logan, like, looks up to his older brother. So no, there's no hate. There's no envy. There's no jealousy. Jake is better suited for this than Logan. Like, Logan's got this thing. He's got, like, this kind of mystique. But he's not as comfortable on the big stage. Man, Jake, he loves it. He wants it. And he doesn't want to be me. Jake's not really about sports. He wants to be Jon Stewart. Jake wants his own show. Like, the one thing we did, and at the time I have to be honest about this, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. Janet put Jake in theater when he was a little kid. And I'm like, yeah, let's just play baseball. And she's like, no. And I don't even remember how it came down. Like, he wanted to do it for some reason as a little kid. And so we got involved in this whole culture. And then he got up on a big stage as a kid and loved it. He did it for a couple of years, and then he stopped, and he started to play baseball. But it was the best thing ever for his confidence. He loves it. He's comfortable. So to answer the question, Jake is better suited for this demand, but he's not at all envious or jealous. He was the one that said to me, hey, Pops, Logs, man, he's all about this. He wants this. So now these two dudes, they're great. I'm really proud of the boys. They're huge fans of each other. I mean, they'll get into each other at times because they're bros, but they're big fans of each other. No hate. It's a no-hater zone with those two dudes. Couldn't be more proud. There is your ATP. Thank you very much. Jake and Janet are nice. Rogues and I are funny. It's been insane running the jungle this week. I mean, from the Hall of Fame campaign to the Box of Chaos polls, radio hits on KROQ in Los Angeles, WFAN in New York, The Daily Show. Now, if you thought that I was going to kick the podcast to the curb and then pick it up again when things slow down, then you don't know what we're all about. We're not slowing down. We're going to grind this thing out. Yesterday, the podcast turned 40. There's no way I was not going to see that milestone through. And I did. My guest this week, Chad Millman. Maybe you heard him on the show recently when he swung through. Maybe you did not. It doesn't matter. Either way, Chad and I went deep. A deep dive on the legalization of sports gambling and the impact it's going to have on the sporting landscape, as we know. Now, Chad's about the best person there is to talk about this stuff because he's a leading voice in the conversation as the head of media for the Action Network. Now, let me be clear about this. I've been in this game a long time. I can assure you that it's going to be a revolution. It's going to be a very big thing. It's going to be a game changer. Like, you know, Twitter changed the game. The legalization of sports betting is going to change the game too. And no anecdote illustrates that better than when I asked Chad about an article that the Action Network posted about betting the spelling bee and the ethical ramifications of gambling on kids.
Is it okay to bet on kids? And next level, is it okay to bet on race?
Right.
Because some of the bets you could bet on is, will it be a boy? Will it be a girl? Will the winner be of Indian descent?
Where do you come out on this? I mean, are there ethical and moral issues with betting on kids? And can you really bet on race?
You 100% could bet on the race. I will tell you, we talked about it in the office, like after the story was up and sort of people were starting to get down action. And it felt very, very strange to even look at a bet where you're betting on a person's race. Even though sort of you take it out of that context, you're not implying anything racist. You are only sort of extracting a fact. And it is a fact that over the past several years, people who are of Indian descent are winning the spelling bee at a higher rate than people who are not. And it's no different than saying, will the winner be a boy or a girl? Even betting on the fact, will it be a boy or a girl versus a man or a woman, feels a little bit like uncomfortable, right? It's a language thing. And if you can get past the language thing, you're just dealing with facts. And then you can appropriately make the bet and seize the opportunity and decide, you know, is it the right thing or the wrong thing for you as an investor in the spelling bee? I don't know where I come down with it just because the language is challenging.
I mean, that's wild. Never mind, are we going to be able to bet on the NFL when the NFL season starts? Something else he and I got into. But we're talking about betting on the spelling bee? Betting on kids? Betting on race? I mean, are we going to get down on anything and everything? It's fascinating. I also asked Chad the critical question that non-sports gamblers are about to face. Are sports better when you're gambling on them?
Well, I think so. You want to feel like you know something. And you want to feel like you got away with something, and you want to feel like you're on the inside. And even if it's just something that you know and nobody else does, if it's your secret, you walk around a little more confident. Even if you've got, you know, $10 more in your pocket or $1,000 more in your pocket, the reason why betting works and why it becomes so popular and why the characters in betting and characters at the racetrack become romanticized is because those are people who feel like there's something intuitive about who they are and what they know, and they can translate it into real dollars in a way that people who are outside of that world can't, and they don't have that instinct. And I think instinct is always going to instinct and intuition will always be two of the most prized traits of things that are admired by the American culture, and those are sort of paramount when it comes to sports betting.
I mean, this is a fascinating, fascinating pod, Chad Millman. And it comes off almost like a TED Talk. And he's also got really strong anecdotes. We talked Howard Stern. We talked Chuck Liddell. We talked gambling. I mean, this is an amazing pod. You definitely want to check this out. And again, if a highly intelligent conversation is not your thing and you're more into a highly stupid batch of voicemails, no, I'm there for that too. And I made sure to bait all of you voicemail-only listeners with this as well. Here's a small taste of that, if that's why you come here.
Next message.
What up, Van Smack? This is Jed in Illinois. What'd you think of that sweet lettuce that Kevin Love's rocking for the NBA Finals? You think a guy making $21 million a year might splurge for something better than a supercut? I mean, dude looks like straight out of Sling Blade.
Damn near cut his head clean off.
Message deleted. Next message.
Hey, Jimmy. Born in Naples. All I wanted to say was, let's go, Warriors. Let's go. Let's do it. Put me in the smack off. I'll be sure to disappoint you. Come on now. Born in Naples. Man's game. I'm out.
Message saved. Next message.
From David in South Carolina calling. Thought I'd add a little class to this voicemail segment. Most of what I hear on here is complete bull. Tell you what, the best thing about the voicemail is hearing how fast you run Dr. Dave. I'm still waiting for the, hey, Rome, this is Dot, message deleted.
Message saved. Next message.
Hey, what's up, Rome? It's Dr.
Message deleted.
There it is. So make sure you check it out right now. Episode 40 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Chad Millman and your voicemails is live right now. It's on iTunes. It's on all the Android players and JimRome.com. Listen to it today on your drive home. Hit me up with your thoughts. Huge call brought to you by Zipa. Snoring is disrespectful and it's offensive. You need to stop right now. Get yourself a Zipa. Make everybody happy. Zipa is 100% guaranteed to work. ZYPPAH.com, Alvy.
Dan Weinberg loves himself from Jeff from Richmond. And I don't know if you heard the recent remarks, Jim, by CBS Sports VP of Operations, Tyler Hale, Jim. They went something like this. Well, Jim, that new clone, that Jesse from Richmond is quite a rascal, and I'm really looking forward to hearing Jesse call in at the Jim Rome Smackdown on July the 20th. Finally, Jim, very quickly, as the drumbeat grows louder, as we approach, Jim, the 2018 Smack-Off, Jim, I'm a made guy with a 20-year chip, but I really don't think the newbie clones and the 2.0s really understand the magnitude or the significance of this event. Clones, this is the most exclusive invite in all of sports and in all of entertainment. Clones, this event is the best of the best. And Matt from L.A. This event, Clones, is a showcase of the immortals. And Matt from L.A. This event, Clones, is the legitimate jungle legends. And Matt from L.A. Jim, the bottom line is this. This is my yard. This is my house. And Clones, trust me, I'm not coming to take part. I'm coming to take over. And Clones, I will never, and I mean ever, ask for your respect. I take my respect on the day the stakes are the highest and that it means the most. Are you feeling me, Clones? Are you feeling me? Jim, thank you for your time. Aloha means goodbye. War Commonwealth of Virginia. War Donald from Manhattan. War Rome and Marty walking arm in arm down Huntington Beach in matching fuchsia speedos with their hands lightly cupped on each other's ass. War Mr. Automatic J. Stu without the nicks and cuts of a blade. And until next time, Jim.
Good night now! That guy.
I'm flaming. I'm out.
That guy in hour one. That's Jeff in Richmond. Bro, you got to keep Tyler Hale and Dan Weiberg's name out your mouth. I mean, there probably wouldn't even be this TV show without those two guys. Jeff in Richmond says he's coming back to get what was once his. That's a 5-minute call on a non-smack-off day. A 5-minute call where he said literally nothing at all. So what's going to happen on July 20th? We'll find out. When Matt in L.A., the guy that he name-checked almost as many times as he name-checked me, still not in the smack-off. And today's effort did not help Matt. He got run. My thanks to Morgan Burnett, Calais Campbell, Tony Jefferson, even Jeff in Richmond. He got this whole thing started back in hour number one. Have yourselves a great day, clones. Good effort today. See you tomorrow. We're all out.